You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Are you ready?
Amen.
Ghana is a beautiful country. Has beautiful people. And we're going back. They kept asking us, have you changed your return ticket yet? And we say no. They say, oh, please change your return ticket. We want you to stay. We want you to stay. They felt like we were a bridge to them between Lester Summerall, Pastor John Osteen, some of the other great men of God that have gone on to glory, Brother Hagin and things. And they wonder what kind of a message the preachers in America are preaching. They're disturbed by the messages that are coming out of America at the present time. And so, you know, we still teach the same things that Brother Hagin taught. We still teach the same things that Brother Osteen taught, you know, because we believe God, the Word of God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And I'm going to need a little more enthusiasm than you gave during the offering this morning. Hallelujah. We're here to receive the uncompromised Word of God. Amen? I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans 12th chapter. And we're going to study the Word of God together today, and we believe God is going to manifest him, or is manifesting himself in many special ways. I checked, they want us to come back and stay longer. More pastors want us to come to their churches. They desperately need leadership training. That's what they're asking for, and they want their leaders taught. And they found out we were married for 41 years, and they apparently that's a great miracle in their country. Because every time they'd announce that Pastor Gary and Pat have been married for 41 years, the people would stand their feet and they would applaud us. And so they invited us to do a marriage seminar. So we did a marriage seminar while we were there. It was great. And, you know, we've learned a few things in 41 years. You know, you have to learn a few things if you're going to survive for 41 years. Amen. Because, the devil, he doesn't like marriages, because marriages get strong and churches get strong, you know. And he's just out to tear everything apart that he can tear apart. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. That'd be a good place, wouldn't it? And so anyway, I checked, we're going back. And yesterday I checked the airfare, and the cheapest seats are $2,200. So that's $4,400, and probably need another $2,000 for our room and board while we're there. And so we're just believing God to go back. It just seems like the tickets are never on sale to go to that country. And I've never seen them on sale. We've been wanting to go praying to go for maybe almost 3 years. And it finally worked out for us to go. And I watched all during those 3 years, and those tickets never got any cheaper than that. Hallelujah. But God is good. Amen. And he will meet all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Romans, the 12th chapter. And don't tell me and don't whine to me that you've heard this scripture 100 times. Amen. Because, I don't know how many times I've heard it and don't know how many times I've read it, but I still learn from it. I still have room to grow. How about you? You know, you just need to be honest with yourself. We all have room to grow. Reading the first verse of Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers or brethren or church members, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so the title of the message today is, what is reasonable service? Hallelujah. What is your reasonable service? Now, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it's not possible to please God. Let's say that together. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, what is reasonable? Whatever it takes to please God, that's what's reasonable. Whatever it takes to be pleasing in the sight of God, that is what is reasonable. What will it take to be in God's perfect will? It'll take time and energy and study and prayer. Can you say amen? God wants his people to be totally committed to his word, totally committed to his plan. Did you know, I'm sure you know, God has, you have a destiny. God made a plan for your life. Come on now, let's get a little more excited now.
Amen.
Amen. Let's draw this word out. Amen. God places a call upon your life. You know, before the foundation of the world, He planned your life and He placed a call on your life. Many people in the church live and die without ever fulfilling the call that God placed on their life. Because they don't understand, or they may even go to the wrong church. Did you know that the Catholic Church just changed one of their doctrines that they've had for hundreds of years? The Pope decided that maybe it's not necessary to baptize infants. But perhaps there's hope that without infant baptism, that there's still a chance for them to go to heaven. But there's no time limit. Even though there's many confusing doctrines out there, but here is the uncompromised, the living word of Almighty God. Amen? It's the word that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, you know, there's a pattern that God has for us to follow. And, in this day and age, hardly anyone makes clothes anymore. But, you know, if you were going to make some clothes, you'd have to have a pattern to follow. You know, if you're going to bake a cake, you might have a recipe to follow. You know, if you're going to drive a car, you might have a manual to follow. But, you know, there's a pattern or a plan or something for you to follow in order to be able to fulfill whatever it is that you desire to do. Well, the pattern for your life is Jesus. When you come into the family, the pattern is Jesus. God, you know, the pattern for God's will or God's plan to be fulfilled in your life is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus again.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, it is His will for you and I to continue His ministry.
Amen.
It's His plan. Say, God's plan for my life is to continue the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you're trusting God for your eternity, how many are trusting God for your eternity? Then it only seems reasonable that you ought to trust Him for everything that it says in His Word. It just seems reasonable that if you're trusting God for eternity, then you need to trust the Word for everything else in your life. I've got a few okays. John 15:5 says that He's the vine, we're the branches. Amen. He's the life source, and we're the branches, getting our nourishment from the life source. Amen. You know, you just have to make some things personal in your life. You have to make the Word of God personal in your life. If you're going to succeed in God's plan and purpose for your life, then you're going to have to get down and get personal with some things in the Bible. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But it's voluntary. You get to decide. You know, God doesn't force it on you. You get to choose. You get to decide at what level of Christianity you want to live at. God will never force anything on you. God is only going to do what you do. He's only going to do what you do. And that's all He's going to do. Amen? I'm talking about in line with the Bible, in line with the good things. God's not going to do bad things. Amen? You see, you get to decide if you're going to complete the assignment on your life. Glory be to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Did you know that your sick body can be healed by the Word of God? By having faith in God's Word? Say that with me. My sick... don't say that. You know, God wants your body well so that He can be glorified. You know, God doesn't want your body sick. Now listen, I'm gonna teach you something, and I can teach you not from theory, but I can teach you by precept and by example. I got forced into taking a physical. I had not had a physical for 42 years, but to go to Ghana, I had to have a yellow fever shot, and I had to have a physical from a doctor before they give me the okay to get a yellow fever shot. So I got forced into it. So I went to the doctor. And he ran me through some preliminary tests, and they took blood, and all that business. And he said, Ben, he says, on the surface of this, for a person your age, he says, everything looks real good. He said, what is it that you do? And I said, well, I pray and talk to my body. You know, I speak good words over my body. And he says, why? He said, that's amazing. So anyway, I had to go back the next week after they got the blood test back. And he said, this is unbelievable. Nobody your age has everything in the proper range. He says, now how is it that you talk to your body and you pray? He said, I'm 25 years younger than you and my cholesterol is off the chart. You know, and it's not that I'm the perfect eater, you know, and all that, but I talk to my body every day. I talk to my body. I am not my body. I live in my body. And I talk to my body and I speak to the parts that are in my body and I tell them how I want them to function, how I want them to be. And so I proceed to tell them, and he said, if I didn't see this on here and I didn't see this report back from the lab, he said, I'd never believe that a person your age, like I'm some old man, some person your age. Well, I am, I do have Medicare, so that'll give you a clue. But I don't feel like that. You know, I don't feel like a Medicare person. But the Medicare was kind of nice because for my first trip to the doctor, you know, since I was in the Coast Guard, when I had my Coast Guard physical, you know, Medicare paid for it. Hallelujah, you know. But so far they haven't paid for the shots that we had to have to go to Ghana, which were $1,500, you know. Well, I never had it, you know, I hadn't had all these shots, and the only one I really had to have was yellow fever, but somehow or another they talked me into all this other stuff. So anyway, I'm good to go for, 10 years now. So I'm telling you, this word of God works. It is reasonable to believe the word of God. You need to understand something right now. Turn to somebody and say, right now. So you'll never forget it. It's up to you what you do with your body. It's not up to anybody else. Now, I know, I could step on some toes here, but I'm not a person that's going to live in the past. I'm not going to look at somebody else's life and what happened in their life or what didn't happen in their life to base my faith. I'm going to look to the Word of God. Because, you can look in the past, you can maybe look at a relative or a friend or somebody that's been through something and things didn't turn out exactly like they thought they should have turned out. And they prayed and, they did this, they did that, they went to church. They were faithful. They gave their tithes and offerings and all this business, and sometimes things just didn't work out for them. I can't base it on their life. I have to base it on the Word of God. Because I'm living to please God. That's what I'm living for. Because that's where the blessing lies. I want my life to be pleasing to God. If you don't ever make a decision to present your body to God, then maybe nothing's ever going to be done about it. He says, you present your body as a living sacrifice. Your body. Do you get it? It's not you, it's your body. This is one person living inside this body that's you're not going to hear, I'm sick. I don't feel good. Because I'm not sick, no matter what. And I'm not feeling good. To not feel good is not me. My body can be sick, but I can't be sick. My body cannot feel well, but that's not me. No, I live in the body. I'm a spirit. Hallelujah. You know, this is a truth that you have to get a hold of in order to be a winner with God. You know, for a person to say I'm broke is ludicrous. I mean, somehow or another, you have a seed of some kind or another. It might be a pound of flour in the cupboard that you take to a neighbor and sow it as a seed. But you have something that has a seed. It is impossible for you to be broke. So get that out of your vocabulary, or don't get it out of your vocabulary. I can't afford it. Well, yeah, but you don't understand. I really can't afford it. Well, maybe that's so, but don't say it. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for the use of edifying and building up. Amen. None. Zero. Zero. Everybody say zero. Zero. Turn to somebody and say zero. Zero. See, that's that corrupt communication. And many people, they nullify the word of God by the words that they allow to come out of their mouth. Hallelujah. So you got to present your body to God. Now, this letter was not written to worldly people, but it was written to a church. Everybody say church. Church. Believers who lived in Rome. It's God's will for all believers to have a healthy, whole body. Now, I made a mention about a little earlier about that I don't always eat just like I should, but the doctor told me I should lose a few pounds. So in order to lose a few pounds, you got to watch a little bit what you eat. Amen? And so there are certain things that we have to do to take care of things. There's certain understandings that, things that we learn that we need to get a hold of in order to take care of things. Take care of the plumbing and, all the other things that goes on in a person's body. God does not want you to have any afflictions in your body. None, zero. By the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed. Not going to be healed, ye were healed. If you have any afflictions in your body, I hope you know that God didn't put them there. God could not put them there because there are none of those in heaven. And how could he say in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of who? The devil. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So God didn't put it there. Now, once again, you, say me, have to do something with your body. See, what do I have to do? I have to present it to God. Give it to God. Bring it to Him. My wife shared something with me not too long ago. She said, a lot of people receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, but how many people have ever received Jesus Christ as their healer? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Who? Not me now. I'm talking about God. Amen. So if you don't do something, then nothing's ever going to be done about it. Let's go over to John chapter 8. Aren't you glad you came to church today? John chapter 8. I'm telling you, this word of God works. Always works. Don't let your mind be confused about it. Verse 28, John chapter 8, verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Now what he's dealing with is unbelief here. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Man, what a testimony. And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. And then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, isn't that interesting? A lot of teaching going around today about the dual covenant. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's only what the Bible says that counts. You can argue with me about someone's testimony or this happened to somebody and they did this and they did that, but it's only what the Word says that counts. It's only God's Word that counts. It's only what the Bible says that counts. Amen? Because this is the procedure manual. You have to take what God says in the Bible at its face value. Don't try to read other things into it. Don't try to make excuses for it. Just accept it. He wants us to present our bodies to Him for healing. See, if you're a child of God, you already belong to Him. Say, I belong to Him. So God's not talking about your inward self when He talks about presenting your body to Him. He's talking about your body, not you. Your faith has to be grounded on the scriptures that talk about healing. Or your faith has to be grounded on scriptures that talk about God's plan for prosperity in your life. If you're going to receive the prosperity that God wants to have for you. An earthly job is never going to provide you with the money that God would like you to have. Amen? He wants you to be abundantly blessed above all things. Super abundantly blessed above all things. Amen? According to the power of God that works in you. So don't ever make your job your source. Make God your source. God has a million ways to bring blessings into your life. Amen. And then the Bible says the thief always comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and you have to stand up against him. Man, we had a wonderful ministry trip to Ghana and Holland. And we returned home and we went to a ministers' conference. And it was a great ministers' conference. And we were gonna stay home away from home for another week. We happened to, about 20 years ago, have bought a cabin near Mount Hood. And it was a great investment. It's gone up 5 times since we bought it. And so we have this little small place up there, and so we were going to spend a few more days up there. But after church I went home to pick up a couple things to take back up there. And when I got home and I walked into our house, we've had a wonderful ministry trip, been doing great things for God. They loved us. They embraced us. They didn't want to let us go. They were crying when we left. And so were we. And then we had the minister's conference and got blessed again. And I go home and I walk in the house and I hear this strange noise. And it sounded like water running. So I walked into the kitchen and I heard this slosh, slosh sound upon my feet. And then I looked over at the kitchen sink and underneath the two doors was this pretty little waterfall. It was about 30 inches wide, and it was just rolling over and rolling out on the floor. And I thought, oh my goodness. And so then I walked around a little bit more and found out the water went into the carpets in the dining room and everything. And then before you know it, they had to tear out all the floor, tear the sheetrock, a third of the way up the wall because it was wet, and ripped our carpet. We just had got this all done about 3 years ago. You know, new wood floor and new carpeting and new wallpaper. And just in a moment of time, they came and tore out our kitchen cabinets, our floor, our sink and the stove and garbage disposal and everything's in the dining room or in the living room now. Everything's all messed up. And what? Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into diverse temptations. Amen. Just count it all joy. I mean, you do wonderful things for God. And the devil always attacks. But if he can't steal your joy, Jerry Savelle said, he can't get your goods. Hallelujah. So I just rejoiced in it. Going to get a new kitchen. We just got a new kitchen 3 years ago. Going to get another new kitchen. Praise God. Going to get a new floor. Hallelujah. Going to get new carpet. Praise the Lord. New sheetrock on the wall. Praise God. New wallpaper. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. And the devil came and said, you must have done something naughty. I said, no, not me. I'm not in sin right now. Haven't been in sin for quite some time. I can't, at least 2 or 3 weeks, Got it all taken care of, praise God. No, I told the devil, you got to deal with the devil. You got to recognize where it's coming from. You got to recognize this. God has nothing to do with this. It's got to be the devil. So you have to put the devil in his place. I told the devil, no. I said the one who was in sin was the one who made that filter that's under the sink that burst. Not me. Him. Because it was the water filter for the refrigerator under the sink that had burst, blew apart. I'm not letting the devil steal my goods. I'm believing to get a better floor. Better wallpaper. Better kitchen cabinets. Hallelujah. A better carpet. Hallelujah. Yeah, better water filter is right. Amen. Not another one from that manufacturer. Hallelujah. God is good. So, you know, you just have, you know, you need to know who you are and you need to stand your ground. And when it comes to your body, you need to attack the devil the same way. You need to take authority, you know, take authority over the devil. Take authority over your body. Tell your body to stand up and be well in Jesus' name. This body's not taking sickness in the mighty name of Jesus. No, 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 no. See, whatever part of your body is afflicted by sickness or disease, God's power can take care of that. Amen? Well, how long does it take until you believe? How do you know when you believe? Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Well, it just doesn't seem to be working. You said it. I went up there and got prayed four times. Doesn't seem like it's any different. Yeah, you said it. I tried this tithing thing, but it just doesn't seem to work. Yeah, you said it. Well, pastor said if I give offerings, you know, over and above, then I could be blessed 30, 60, 100 fold. I haven't seen 30, let alone 60 or 90 or 100 fold. Well, you said it. You got it. I told you I talk to my body every day. I try to speak to the different parts of it. The brain, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the throat, the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the veins, the arteries, the corpuscles or whatever they are, you know, the different parts that are in your body. You know, speak to those body parts and tell them, be well in Jesus' name. Function like God designed them in Jesus' name. I try to name them every day, but, you know, some days I forget. But I do talk to my body every day and tell my body, get in line with God's word. God's word says you're healed, so act like it. Remember, my body is not me. I live in my body, amen? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's power, or God's word, has the power. Say power. To drive sickness far from you if you'll be steadfast and not waver. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of God. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I didn't get out my other message. This is too good a message here. I want to read this from the Amplified Translation. Let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's begin with verse 24. It says, "Don't you know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours." Got that? Lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Lay hold of the healing redemption from Jesus and make it yours. Lay hold of the prosperity plan from God and make it yours. Lay hold of the God has given you a sound mind and make it yours. Amen? All right. Now, every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Therefore, I don't run without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking it without an adversary. But like a boxer, I buffet my body, or I handle it roughly. I discipline it. I subdue it, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit and not stand the test, be unapproved, and rejected as a counterfeit. Your will is not going to be any stronger than your body unless you read the Bible. It's not enough just to come to church and hear a message on Sunday morning or Sunday night and Wednesday. No. There's time between Sunday and Wednesday, and there's time between Wednesday and Sunday. And sometimes you can't always get here on Wednesday, so sometimes it's from Sunday to Sunday. Amen? So what are we saying here? Don't give in to the dictates of your body or what your body is trying to dictate to you. Do not give in to it. You're better than that. You have a better covenant than that. Don't give in to it. Amen? You see, let God's word feed your spirit. Let God's word build your spirit. Take care of your spirit. Bring strength in your spirit. Paul says, I keep it under. Keep what under? His body. That's what we're talking about, taking authority over your body. I think if I have to, I could still run through a troop and leap over a wall. That's only if I had to. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I know I don't move quite as nimbly as I used to move, but I'm, you know, I'm still doing pretty good for someone on Medicare. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, whatever Jesus said, he always said what his Father said, and God is the truth, so Jesus must always spoke the truth. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, what does he keep under subjection? His body. What does he keep in subjection to? His spirit. Now, who did Jesus say must know the truth? No, not me. You. And no, I mean it, me. You know, you can always put it off on somebody else, but you know, you eventually have to get it back on yourself. You know, you're responsible for yourself. You know, you can go to the man of God and ask him to pray, but if you come to him and pray and you're in doubt and unbelief and not believing that it's going to work, it'd take a miracle to get you healed, which God has. But miracles don't always happen, but thank God when they do. Amen. But I just in case, I'm building myself on the word of God. So I'll be ready for everything the devil brings against me. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, this is really good this morning. Oh no, we slipped down to the afternoon. I have to hurry up here. Now, why would God want his, you know, we are the body of Christ. Amen? Now, I might teach on this tonight, but I want to teach on it now, but I guess maybe tonight. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The temple, that means that God lives in the person of the Holy Spirit. God lives on the inside of us.
Hallelujah.
Well, where is God? He's in me. Well, God, I just don't feel you. Don't make any difference whether you feel him or not. God, you just seem so far away. Oh, no, honey. He's in you.
Amen.
You just think he's far away. You know, when you go and do something you know you oughtn't do, he's right there, honey, watching you. Now, why would God want the house where he lives all diseased and dilapidated? No. God wouldn't want that. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Glory be to God. No, he wouldn't want that. He wouldn't want his earthly temples to be dilapidated. He wouldn't want his earthly temples to be run down. Now, if your house is torn apart like ours is, and you want to get the house fixed, you probably call for a contractor. Amen? Or a carpenter. Or a sheetrock person. A carpet layer. To come in and fix it for you. Amen? You would not give a medical doctor a hammer and nails and ask him to fix your body. Can you say amen? Or to fix your house. The house you live in, amen? No, you don't want the doctor to take hammer and nails to fix your body. Now, God is the one who made your body. You ought to say that. God made my body. Hallelujah, God made it. So he's the one. Now, doctors do everything they can, but Jesus is the healer. And most doctors, if they have good sense, will recognize that they do whatever they do, and then it's up to some kind of power of some kind or another, which we believe is Jesus' power, but sometimes they may not understand Jesus' power. But there's some higher power of some kind that does the work. You know, they can cut and they can paste. they can cut and they can sew, right? They can clamp or whatever and, you know, and do this and do that. But they have nothing to do with the repair process that takes place. You know, I mean the healing process that takes place. They have nothing to do about that. Amen? Thank God that God's around. Amen? And you know, sometimes it takes doctors a long time to diagnose something. And so for me, I'm not waiting for the I'm not going to give the devil a chance for me to have any diagnosis. The doctor told me, he says, well, you ought to think about coming back sooner than 42 years for your next physical. And then he wanted me to start taking the baby a small baby aspirin every day. I said, why? You know, I thought, well, why does? I didn't even ask him. I just wanted to get my yellow fever shot. And I did ask him, well, how long you want me to take this? He said, for the rest of your life. And I got out of thinking, here I am, everything's perfect. Well, not perfect, you know, it's in the range. Well, perfect, I guess it's close to perfect. Blood pressure was just right there, you know. 122, almost, over 78, not too bad. And I don't take any he was shocked. He says, well, what kind of medication do you take? I said, none. He said, what kind of medication have you ever took? I said, none since I was, a child. He said, well, when was the last time you were in the hospital? I said, when I was born. Then, of course, he asked that question, when's the last time you saw a doctor? And I told him 42 years ago. Jeez. But so he wants me to, so anyway, I'm dealing with this baby aspirin business. There's nothing. He even sent me to a cardiologist to make sure that there wasn't something, you know, and so Medicare paid for that. Well, I had to pay $5. But anyway, the cardiologist, he comes in and he said, I don't understand why they sent you in here. He said, but he says, I guess it's good to know how great your heart is. I said, yeah, that is great. So I'm dealing now. Why should I keep taking this baby aspirin? No, I like the word of God. Can you say amen? Let's go back. Let's finish up in Romans chapter 2 and we'll close. We'll close this message, but we'll go to phase 4. All right. Now we read verse 1. Let's read verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove to yourselves, or for yourselves, the Amplified says, prove for yourselves. Prove for yourselves. Not based on what I say, but prove for yourself. But I'm living proof that talking to your body works. Right. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, believe whatever you want to believe. Suffer. Believe what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what is it with this world? It's talking about this age. You know, there's this mass of thoughts that's fleeting around. Do you ever notice how many advertisements on television are about different kinds of medicine? That's when my gift of tune-out comes in. Especially when they start talking about all the side effects. Could do this, could do that, could do the other thing. Could cause bleeding, could, nausea, you know, could rashes or, you know, different stuff that's on there, all kind of stuff. I think, what in the world? I think it's a plot of the enemy. Using pharmacists and doctors to, you know, and drug companies to make money or something. So you got all these thoughts, all these hopes out there, all these aims, all these speculations floating around out there. It says, don't be conformed to this. You know, different aspirations. Opinions. Man, there's so many opinions out there. You know, I was I only had time yesterday to, you know, this deal about the Pope I told you earlier in the infant baptism business. There was a, you know, the what they call them, blogs on there. The different, you know, different people wrote their opinions. I read 15 of them. Now, when I got done with 15, my mind wanted to be confused. 15 different ideas on about whether you're going to get to heaven or not, or if you're going to get to heaven, or if there is a heaven, or if there is a God, or if there is a Jesus, or if there is a hell. You know, all this on there, the Word of God is clear. It makes it so much easier to go to this word. The Word just settles everything. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. It settles everything. The answer is in the Word of God. And you can prove for yourself, if you're not conformed to this world, but transformed, you prove through experience that the Word of God is true. Can you say amen?